Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. We are here live tonight. And I'm really excited to have my very special guest here tonight. Well, he's kind of here, kind of not here. Dr. Corey Harrow is my guest, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about him in a minute. But as luck would have it, the unexpected happens, and so he is on the phone. And so we're going to be talking to him on the phone tonight, but it's going to be a great show, and you're going to learn a whole lot here on 95.9 True Oldies here in the Palm Beaches, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. Before I tell you about Dr. Harrow, I want to say hello to him because we haven't met. How are you tonight, Doctor?
I'm doing well, Scott. Doing well. Thank you.
Great. So let me tell you all who are listening in about who Dr. Harrow is and why we are so glad that he's here. He is the medical director of the emergency department at West Boca Medical Center. He is board certified by the American Board of Emergency Medicine. He joined the West Boca medical staff in November of 2017. With over 20 years of experience, he's well prepared for his relatively new leadership role, although I guess it's not new, although it's been fraught with a lot of interesting things since he came on. Maybe it's all his fault. Anyway, prior to his time at West Boca Medical Center, Dr. Harrow served as the emergency medical director at Lakeside Medical Center in Belgrade, Florida. He was also assistant medical director at Memorial Regional Hospital in Hollywood, Florida. He got his bachelor's degree from Columbia University of New York, and then he received his medical degree from Stony Brook University in Stony Brook. Dr. Harrow completed his residency at the University of Chicago in emergency medicine and was a faculty member and teaching assistant at the University of Illinois. Dr. Harrow, it's a pleasure to have you here. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. You know, actually, I would have told you when you came in, Stony Brook's kind of my neck of the woods. I lived in Smithtown for years. My kids grew up on Long Island, so we have a lot in common there. But anyway, before I go into the kind of the overriding topic we're going to talk tonight, which is about whether or not people should feel safe in the emergency room these days, maybe tell us a little bit about West Boca Regional Medical Center, because I think of all of the 15 hospitals in the Palm Beach County area, and I think there are 15, it's probably the least well-known and not misunderstood, but a lot of people don't know anything about West Boca Regional. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. West Boca is a tenant hospital, and even though we're a smaller hospital, because we're part of the tenant hospital system, we have a lot of the advantages of scale. We have a very close relationship with larger hospitals in the tenant system, like Delray Medical Center, and so we have an almost seamless ability to transport patients who need cardiac catheterizations if they're having a heart attack. We can get patients over there within minutes. Though we're our smaller hospital, we also have some incredible services. We have a pediatric emergency department, which is completely staffed by pediatric emergency specialists. We have a pediatric floor where we have pediatric intensivists. We have a pediatric ICU. We have a very active OB department. We have a NICU for any complicated births. We actually accept patients from other hospitals, other neonates and newlyborns get transferred to West Boca. So even though we're a small hospital, we've got some significant resources, we're proud to have it.
You know, you spent a few minutes there talking about your pediatric capabilities. I may have mentioned this to you on the phone the other day, but my granddaughter, who is four, my youngest granddaughter, who's four, just had surgery at West Boca, and she's doing great. And honestly, my daughter could not have been more complimentary about the care and the concern and just the general atmosphere of everybody there. She's tough to please, and it's her only daughter. And I'm telling you, she's a tough cookie, but she could not have been more complimentary. So I don't know who you could pass that on to, but please do. It's great.
Well, hopefully people who need to hear to know that are already hearing that right now. But I guess I'm glad that. That she had a good experience 3 days before you and I had this hour together.
Yeah, this would have been a whole different conversation if it had gone
yes,
south.
It would.
to be a bit more serious, you're in West Boca. I think people don't know that you're in the western part of Boca, in an area that's growing. There's some new communities going up. You're a tremendous community resource. I know many people who have had great experience there, and just think I would throw that in. But your area of specialty is emergency medicine. And, one of the things I think that throughout this pandemic and the concurrent unintended consequences are people have been delaying coming to the emergency room, and they probably shouldn't, right?
No, there's no question. We completely understand that people have fears. We all read the media. We see news on the internet. We hear it on the radio. Maybe some of your listeners actually read it in the newspaper.
Yeah, this generation does still read newspaper. Myself included. I read two a day. So yes,
right. But so we understand that, and it is certainly understandable, and it is reasonable to be afraid to some degree in terms of avoiding exposure to COVID-19. So it seems that that our patient population in our community has gotten that message pretty well. But unfortunately, with every action has a reaction, and the listening to the concern about possible exposure, there's everything has a risk and a benefit. And so when you're feeling fine and you don't have chronic illness or you don't have symptoms, then certainly staying trying to avoid contact with large amounts of people and quarantining away from from large groups of people is very appropriate and makes perfect sense. But patients who have chronic disease and patients who need care, who have significant abdominal pain, who have dizziness, weakness, chest pain, all the symptoms that's what we do in the emergency department. That's our bread and butter. That's our niche. That significant new type symptoms or worsening symptoms that are different than previous. Those are that changes the risk benefit. And people who avoid coming to see the doctor and coming to the hospital, we're seeing people who are, we're seeing the results of that, and we're seeing people who are a lot sicker than they were, the people we saw 3 months ago.
And I think, really that is so critical. Again, I don't know the statistics. I'm sure maybe you do. But the incidence of mortality amongst people who otherwise could have been saved if they had just called 911 and gone to the hospital, the rise in deaths, I know from heart attacks and strokes, for example, it's been fairly dramatic, has it not?
So what I can tell you is, in different populations, it varies, in terms of the incidence of disease and how advanced it is. I can tell you from our experience at West Boca, we had an admission rate of people who were sick enough to be admitted to the hospital. That has we had a general rate which we were at. That's gone up by about 50 to 60% in the past 2 to 3 months.
Wow.
It means we're admitting 50 or 60% more people than we did in terms of a percentage of people that we see, meaning that they're so much sicker than the patients that, you know, than we're used to seeing. And that's because people are waiting. They're waiting. They're the fear of being exposed that they're reading on CNN or seeing on TV is pushing them to delay seeking care until sometimes, you know, it's advanced, and sometimes even when it's too late.
And that's not, just to be clear, that's non-COVID related. That's people coming in for things other than COVID. The admission
Correct.
Rate is
yep.
going up so high, right?
Right.
That is staggering. As I sit here, I mean, just to me, that's really staggering. Wow.
We were very surprised by that, and I can tell you just by reading other resources online and by being connected with some of our colleagues across the country, that has been a common theme, both in New York, in California, in Texas, and even in Canada. We're hearing reports and, you know, hearing webcasts from emergency physicians working all over the country. And that has been, it's been across the board. You know, people are people, and they react to, you know, the unknown in similar ways. And the way that they've reacted is to avoid crowds and avoid care. And that has been to their detriment.
I'm still kind of a stunned. So now, I think, you know, part of the reason for this, right, we all understand that the fear has, you know, is overwhelming, right? The fear is overwhelming in the marketplace. And as you said before, you know, that's kind of understandable. You just have to look at the headlines and read the newspapers and listen to the news or the radio. And it's like Armageddon is here. There's disaster around every corner. But the truth of the matter is that your hospital, your emergency department, and all of the Tenet hospitals that I'm aware of have taken enormous precautions for anybody coming through the emergency room door to ensure that there is not this cross, for lack of a better term, contamination. Can we talk about some of the things that you've instituted that should give my audience and anybody comfort or security in their safety should they come to the emergency room?
Absolutely. So at West Boca, we in the emergency department specifically, we have separate areas where we care for patients who have COVID. These are areas, rooms with doors with negative pressure, so that there is an active pumping mechanism which pumps air out of the room and to the outside environment through a filter to filter out any possible viral particles before it's released out. But there's no communication. It's negative pressure, meaning if you open the door, air rushes in, not out, so that the environment in the room does not go out into the general emergency department. We've instituted these deep cleaning, where you wait for an hour after a patient is discharged so that everything settles. And then after that, there's a deep cleaning of the entire room, of every surface, before any other patient is brought to that room. For admitted patients, we have an entire closed-off unit where patients who've tested positive go, and no other patient is exposed to that area or those patients. Staff is given appropriate protective equipment and gear to make sure that they're protected, but patients are protected from that environment by being completely distanced away from that. As patient admissions fluctuate and we need further areas, then we're actually today planning on, you know, as many of your listeners may have seen in the news, cases are going up, and that we want to make sure that we're prepared in case we need additional areas that will be separate and protected from any other patients.
I think you touched on all of the things that concern most of the people I come in contact with, most of the people that I speak with, and that is dedicated staff, which is, you know, really critical to provide the comfort level for anybody afraid to go to the emergency room. And also the cleaning, and actually you're the first person that explained to me the negative airflow in a way that now I understand it, you know, the whole negative airflow process. That's really fascinating to me as well. I had somebody who works at Tenet say to me that you're much more likely to catch COVID at Publix, and not at Publix. I'm not making – please, Publix, if you're listening, this is not directed at you. I guess I should say supermarket. You're more likely to catch it at a supermarket or a drugstore or a restaurant than you ever would be at a hospital emergency room. Is that accurate?
There's no question. And the reason why is because we have dedicated staff whose entire focus is our patient safety.
Right.
We have all of our nurses and techs. They're making sure that patients aren't exposed and making sure that surfaces are cleaned. We have the best protective equipment and chemicals that you can get in order to make sure that rooms are sanitized, that surfaces are cleaned regularly. We use disinfectant chemicals every hour in our department. And I think the main thing is that people in a store, and you know, God bless Publix. These are frontline workers in every degree that healthcare workers are in terms of doing a service which is sorely needed. But their goal is to sell product and produce. That's what they're there for, and they're doing a fantastic job. And we shop there also. But our goal is to make sure that everyone's safe and protected. So it's a question of what your focus is, and that's why we do everything that we can in our power, and that's why the emergency department at West Boca is a safer environment than any other environment that people already go to without thinking about it.
And I guess just to revisit what we started with at the beginning of this segment anyway, we talked about the fact that people who are waiting to go to ERs are doing themselves a greater disservice than they understand, you know, particularly when I think in terms of strokes and heart attacks. You know, speed matters, right? In strokes, right? Time is brain. I've done shows on strokes. Speed matters. This is not maybe I'm not feeling so good, I can wait till tomorrow. Self-diagnosis is a recipe for disaster, correct?
Oh, no, 100%. I got to tell you, about a month ago, I had this really out-of-body experience where a patient came in and their entire arm was paralyzed. And, you know, I said, my God, it's a stroke. And you get ready to activate the system. We move as fast as possible, get a CAT scan within minutes, get it read immediately by our neuroradiologist. And we've worked out, you know, it's called a code stroke for that reason, because we work as if someone's dying because your brain is dying.
Right.
And then I asked him, when did this start? And he told me, oh, 2 days ago. And it just floored me that his arm was paralyzed. And for 2 days, he sat on it rather than come to the hospital because he was afraid of maybe catching a virus that he read about online. And that was remarkable to me because at that point, after 2 days, there's very little that can be done. You know, certainly symptoms can lessen, and you know, you can go physical therapy. It's not a question of, you know, that's it, you know, good luck, here's an aspirin, you know, have a good day. But it was remarkable to me that, you know, that and that was entirely because of waiting at home. And we felt bad because there are things that we can do, and then once patients wait that long to come, it takes away our options.
No, it does. It limits your ability, your effectiveness. There's no question about it, and that's really quite a remarkable story. But I'm sure not an unusual story in emergency departments throughout the country these days. Anyway, if you're just tuning in, of course, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I'm here tonight with Dr. Corey Harrow. Dr. Harrow is the medical director of the emergency department at West Boca Regional Medical Center. I keep trying to say Boca West. I know it's West Boca, but I will, if I say that, correct me, please. Dr. Harrow is, as I said, the medical director of the emergency department. at West Boca Medical Center. We've been talking so far about the protocol in the hospital to give you comfort in the emergency department to go, as opposed to sticking around and waiting too long, and the implications and complications created by waiting too long to go to the emergency room are really serious, and I hope that you are paying attention. We are open for calls if anybody wants to call Dr. Harrow or to ask him a question or me. All you have to do is call us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
You might know that one out of four adults over 65 fall and end up in the emergency room each year. What hits even closer to home is that one in 10 adults over 65 fall every hour of every day in Palm Beach County. Hi, I'm Dan Lagani, the CEO and co-founder of Silver Solutions, the on-demand safe living and home solutions company. At Silver Solutions, our mission is to help make your future look different. For over a decade, we've been working with families like yours to eliminate home safety risks so that you or mom can safely age in place. And when it's time to downsize or ready a family home for sale after a loss, Silver Solutions specialists will also help and do the work for you. To find out more, call now to schedule a free home assessment at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online now at silversolutions.com. Silver Solutions, we make growing older safer and easier for the whole family.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're thrilled that you're with us tonight. If you're a new listener, we're glad that you found us. If you're a regular, we're glad that you're here. We did have a caller on the line, but they hung up. So I'm here tonight with Dr. Harrow. And Dr. Harrow, I don't know whether it was you he was afraid of or me, but he came and went. But anyway, Dr. Harrow is the medical director at the emergency department of West Boca Medical Center. And we have been talking about the protocols for going to the ER and why it's so important that if you are in fact going to the ER, you not delay. It's really important for the for your health. And we were sharing some statistics that were frankly a little bit staggering to me. One of the other things, though, Dr. Harrow, if I might, is that, you know, there are all sorts of reasons people are afraid of catching COVID, and hopefully we've allayed some of those fears. But one of the other things that prevents people at this moment in time from going to the ER is they're afraid that if they are admitted, they're going to be there all by themselves, that there won't be any visitation allowed. That's not totally true, is it?
So it's a difficult situation, because what we're faced with as a healthcare system is looking at the greater good. And what we're trying to do is to avoid spreading disease. And COVID happens to be a really uniquely contagious disease. That's why we separate patients with COVID into separate units. That's why they do the negative pressure. That's why all the staff around them are wearing full protective equipment. You know, we're talking gowns, shields, masks, gloves, I mean, bonnets for their hair, everything.
Right.
The issue with having visitors is that visitors coming into an area where the entire area is exposed to COVID because all the patients are being grouped together, is now you're exposing people in the community to an area which could be dangerous for them. Because people, you can't put everybody in protective equipment the way that our staff is. Hey, we don't have we have enough for our staff. And that's one of the things about West Boca being a tenant facility, is that we have a supply chain from a much larger group. So we have what we need. We don't have enough to give to every single patient's family to visit. And even if you did, it requires some education on how to use it appropriately, or else you're not wearing it correctly. It's not protective. So what we can't do is expose people to a situation where they could be harmed. So in order to address that, the hospitals have looked at different ways to have people be connected in a safe way. We have iPads available that patients can use, and FaceTime, use an app to speak with family, in a safe manner where the family's not there, but they're able to look and talk with their loved one whenever they want. It's a struggle, because we certainly understand that patients don't want to be alone. But what we can't do is address that concern with an answer or a solution that causes more problems.
But is that protocol? I think everybody understands that on a COVID floor, but on a non-COVID related admission, are admissions still being restricted, or are they allowed?
Is that dependent? So on a non-COVID floor, we had to adjust visitation on the non-COVID floors because we don't know whether visitors may have the disease.
Right.
And 85% of people with COVID have either mild symptoms or no symptoms, and yet they can still be infectious. So when you have a young, healthy patient with no symptoms comes to visit their loved one, they could easily infect 15 people on the floor who have immune problems or advanced diabetes or COPD or other chronic diseases which make them more susceptible.
Right.
So we can't have that either. We have adjusted it because, again, this is a developing strategy that we're trying to do the best for everybody. So what the tenant hospital system has decided is you want to limit exposure, but you also want to try to address the patient's concerns. So on the pediatric floor, a pediatric ER, and then if for admission, you can have one person with the child to make sure that they're not alone and scared.
Right.
For the OB, for delivering mothers, they're allowed to have one visitor to be
right
with them. And for outpatient surgery, the hospital has decided to allow one person to go with them on their, for their surgery, to wait and then to bring them home, from the outpatient procedure. So it's one of those trying to find the sweet spot between, the general overall health concerns, but individual concerns and they trying to do the least harm and the most good.
And again, I can tell you from my daughter's experience last week, they were great because she's 4 and obviously quite scared, and she had surgery, and your staff was spectacular in rotating mommy and daddy and helping smooth the entire procedure and process, both pre-op, op, and post-op, you know, recovery. So I can speak with authority from experience about West Boca Regional Medical Center treatment, certainly in the pediatric and elective surgery, which I guess in this case was kind of both because it was an elective pediatric surgery. So,
right.
So I got 2 out of 3, which is better than my batting average of late. Anyway, if you're just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We're here every Monday night. If you're new, we talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. I'm here tonight with Dr. Corey Harrow. And because he's a physician, things happen. And while he was supposed to be in studio tonight, he is on the phone, but we're having a robust conversation about why you should not be afraid of the emergency room, why getting proper care early is most important. It's really critical for your health and for everybody else as well, and why you should not be afraid to go to the emergency room. Dr. Harrow is the medical director of the emergency department at West Boca Medical Center, which is a Tenet hospital. So while he speaks just for his experience, I'm sure the entire Tenet 5 hospitals in the area are probably doing much the same. So anyway, if you have questions for Dr. Harrow, you can call he or myself at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were station might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're glad that you're with us here on 95.9 in the Palm Beaches, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast at True Oldies. I am here tonight, yes, Scott Greenberg. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older. So is my mom, with Dr. Corey Harrow. Dr. Harrow is the medical director of the emergency department at West Boca Medical Center. We have had a robust conversation tonight about The emergency room, the safety and security that you will experience when you're there. We've talked about visitation at the hospital. We've been talking about both COVID and non-COVID related reasons for going to the emergency room. And if you have any questions for Dr. Harrow, you can call us again at 877-960-9960. Dr. Harrow, you know, look, everybody's got an opinion about masks. It's all anybody wants to talk about, and the passions are enormous in this regard. Can we talk about the importance of wearing masks and why it is so important, and then I'll drill down on the types of masks if I can.
No, 100%. It is unfortunate that the wearing of masks has become not so much, at least for some people, has become not so much a question of safety, but more a question of a political identity or belief system. And that's something that we're observing, and it's frustrating for us as healthcare providers, because the science is clear. The directive from the CDC, from Anthony Fauci, who's the top infectious disease doctor, and it masks protect other people from you, and masks, when other people wear them, protect you from them. And what they do is masks filter out large particles, and particles of saliva, of you know, air with moisture in it, and that's how the virus spreads. The coronavirus doesn't travel on its own. It's not airborne. There's a few diseases which are, and they can float. Coronavirus doesn't do that. It travels on droplets. And even a face mask, even a cloth face mask that you can make from an old T-shirt, is able to filter out the droplets that the virus travels on. So it's not that, oh, well, if you don't have a surgical mask, if you don't have an N95 mask, you don't have the special type masks that we as healthcare providers wear because we're around people who are infected all day long. They do a world of good. I did read in the, you know, I don't want to bash all of the, you know, news reports that we read, because there's some interesting things there as well. And I read last week that there were two hairdressers in Georgia that tested positive, and they had given haircuts to 140 people because Georgia was one of the first states that opened up and allowed for, you know, for that type of interaction, and not a single one of those people tested positive, which is remarkable if you think about it, because it's a uniquely personal experience. You're up close and personal with someone, and we also know that it's not just so whether you're close to somebody, but it's how long you're close to somebody, which increases the chances of getting infected. So to have an interaction for a prolonged period of time with 140 people and not a single one tested positive really strongly suggests that just a simple cloth face mask does wonders in terms of protecting other people from you.
You know, it's interesting because I actually was talking about, and we didn't do this in our preparation for tonight, I was talking to somebody else about that very same story today. And I think they not only were the hairdressers masked, but so were all of their customers or their clients. And so the combination of both seemed to be the only explanation why 120 or 40, whatever the number was, people were never tested positive. It's really quite remarkable. It's a great story.
It really is. It's the kind of thing which is so instructive, and it really needs to be, people need to look at masks in terms of not just their own safety, because America has a culture of personal independence for safety. I mean, Florida, probably more than most states, every time I see somebody riding a motorcycle without a helmet,
right,
that reminds me that, right, you know, people like to make choices for their own safety. And you know, I celebrate the fact that America allows people to make those choices. You know, I personally, as an ER doctor, think that if you want to make that choice, you should be required to become an organ donor. But that's my own personal belief system. But in terms of wearing a mask, it's a little different because you're not making a choice about your own safety when you're wearing a mask. You're predominantly making a choice about other people's safety because the mask protects other people from your droplets.
It is really interesting. And you kind of answered what would have been my next question, which is it is not necessary for you to be walking around with an N95 or a KN95. For those who don't know the difference, the KN95 is just the Chinese version of an N95. The average general public doesn't really need that, right? And we shouldn't be taking that out of the system that most healthcare providers benefit from. Any kind of mask is a help, correct? Am I right about that?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Just wearing a mask is so important. It, certainly the levels of filtration is important, and it makes some difference. But it's the same way a life preserver is not as secure as a lifeboat, but right. They both will save you.
Yeah, no, it's great. This is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight with emergency medical specialist Dr. Corey Harrow, who is the chief emergency medical director at West Boca Medical Staff. He has an interesting story about time he spends in Israel every year that I'm going to ask him about. But I'm also going to ask him about hand washing and sanitizers before I get to his Israeli connection, which I found really fascinating as I was doing some research today. So I want to ask him about that as well. If you have questions for Dr. Harrow, you can ask them too. That's the good thing about this show. All you have to do is call us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
Long before most of us ever heard of COVID-19, Silver Solutions understood that growing older wouldn't always be easy, but it could be safer and more rewarding. At Silver Solutions, we pride ourselves on creating physically safer homes for older adults, wherever home is. Whether you're senior-proofing your current home, downsizing to assisted living, or emptying a home after the loss of a loved one, Silver Solutions can help. To find out more about our services or to schedule a free virtual home assessment, call Silver Solutions today at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com. Our specialists are deeply experienced, compassionate, and follow rigorous CDC guidelines, including the use of full personal protective equipment for your family's safety. You can't control everything in life, but when it comes to making growing older safer and less stressful, you can count on Silver Solutions.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. ElderCare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, ElderCare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make ElderCare 360 part of your team. ElderCare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're thrilled that you're with us here on this glorious Monday night. It is Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. Every Monday, we're here from 6 to 7 talking about issues that confront boomers and their parents. Tonight, I am with Dr. Corey Harrow, who is the medical director of the emergency department at West Boca Medical Center. You know, I have a couple of questions and some interesting questions not medically related coming to Dr. Harrow in a second. But during the commercial break, I was reminded that Alpert Jewish Family runs a spot on our commercial. And I just want to tell everybody, as soon as this show ends tonight, I am emceeing the Alpert Jewish Family annual meeting. So, and I am doing that virtually. So I'm on the radio now, but as soon as this is over, I'm going to be the MC and the host of the Alpert Jewish Family annual meeting. And if you'd like to attend and see that, just go to Alpert Jewish Family, Google them, go to their website, and you can register, still register for that. So, but anyway, to my guest, Dr. Harrow, we were talking about the requirement benefit of wearing a mask. One of the other things that's really important, I find myself washing my hands more now than I ever did, and hand sanitizer. And I guess my question is, what are the real benefits of washing our hands so often? Why are we doing that? And then, is hand sanitizing almost as good as, or as good as, if done properly?
So the washing of the hands is possibly the single most important hygiene tool that we have to prevent the spread of disease. And it's not just COVID-19. It's disease in general. Just right now, we're focused more on COVID-19 because it is prevalent. It's out there, and it's so incredibly, uniquely infectious. Just now, washing hands, the reason why washing hands is so beneficial is because we touch our faces, our mouths, we cough. It is the kind of thing which happens multiple times a minute, and we don't think about it. It's just mannerisms. It's something that happens, you know, on autopilot, but you're constantly getting respiratory droplets on your hands. And the same way that we are, everyone around us is. So when you have things like doorknobs, there was a really disturbing article that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine 3 months ago, where they looked at the National Institute of Health was looking at how long the COVID virus can last on a metal surface, like a doorknob. And the answer is 3 days. The coronavirus can live on a doorknob for 3 days.
Wow.
That's sobering. And it should make all of us aware that you need to be washing your hands on a regular basis just for reasons like that. So things that you don't even think about touching, 100 other people touch that same doorknob. And unless every single one of them washed their hands or used hand sanitizer immediately before, which is unlikely, then you're now touching everyone and everything that they've touched, including their face, their mouth, et cetera. So it's super important, and it's possibly the single most important step that we can all take to prevent and to slow the transmission of disease out in our community.
It's amazing. I find myself being much more sensitive, one, to touching my face, and two, If I use a public restroom, I don't shut the water off with the hand I just washed. I take a paper towel and shut the water off. But it's not being paranoid. It's being safe, right? It's being intelligent about those kinds of things.
Yeah, it's being aware. It's being aware and trying to be an active participant in your health, as opposed to being fatalistic and assuming if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. No, steps that we can take, very simple, clearly defined steps that we can take, can help prevent the spread of disease and help keep us and our loved ones safer.
Is our behavior inalterably been changed, do you think? Or do you think we're ever going to revert back to the bad old days in terms of taking care of ourselves?
I'll tell you, I suspect that the handshake may just be gone the way of like print journalism.
Right.
I think, and there are other aspects of social convention that in terms of like meetings. You know, we have a departmental meeting where we go through educational issues. We review cases. We talk about care. And we've been doing that by Zoom the past 3 months.
Right.
And it's one of those things where we've all they're much better attended than they ever were before. And we're able to accomplish the same, actually more, and people are saving all the drive time. So, yeah, I think that there's a lot of aspects of interpersonal contact that we're reevaluating and seeing, you know what, maybe that's not so necessary.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The annual meeting I'm hosting right after tonight's show, they've had nearly 200 registrants for that annual meeting. It's really quite remarkable attendance if they all show up. And I've started to do presentations. I'm doing one on Thursday night for a synagogue. I'm doing a presentation to Lador Vador about my around the world cruise last year. So we're learning about different ways to communicate, although I have to confess I miss the handshake. Anyway, if you've just tuned in, I've been talking tonight with Dr. Corey Harrow, who is the chief medical officer of the emergency department at West Boca Medical Center. If you have just tuned in, you've missed a very informative show. It's a terrific show, and it's a shame that you have. But the good news is you can recapture it because we podcast it. Yes, we do. We will be up and running tomorrow on podcast. Just search OMG. I'm getting up. We will pop. It'll be there, as will all of our previous shows. Also, we're on iHeartRadio, so there's no excuse if you're not in your car or not at home. You can listen to us on your phone. We're on iHeartRadio. All you have to do is search for True Oldies in West Palm. If neither of those works for you, we put it up on my website tomorrow, palmbeach.comfortcare, C-O-M-F-O-R-C-A-R-E. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Don't put a T in there. As much as you want to, as much as spell check will make you, don't do it. It's C-O-M-F-O-R-C-A-R-E. And, of course, we simulcast at TrueOldiesFLA.com, www.TrueOldiesFLA.com. So whether you're here on vacation, around the country, or around the world, you can listen to us wherever you are, although you really can't go anywhere these days, so stay home and listen to us live. Next week, I have another doctor from West Boca Medical Center on, but we're going to be talking about something entirely different. Dr. David Patton is going to be here. He's an orthopedic surgeon, and we're going to talk about a lot of people who put off elective surgeries, but we're also going to talk about how West Boca is helping navigate the waters of elective surgery by supplying more help than typically is afforded the average patient. It's going to be an interesting show, and I encourage you to listen. In 2 weeks, I'm going to have a guest host. I'm going to have a guest host because that week I will be celebrating my 50th anniversary, and so I'm going to be away. But we're going to have a guest host. It's going to be a fabulous show, I promise you. I'll tell you more about it next Monday night when you tune in. And in 3 weeks, I'm very excited. I'm going to be talking to Patrick Franklin. Patrick is the president of the Urban League. He has been with the Urban League, I think it was for 18 years. We have other things going on beside COVID, and one of them has to do with the relationship between certain communities and law enforcement. And the Urban League is at the forefront of bridging the gap between many. And I'm excited to have Mr. Franklin on, so I'm looking forward to that. In the couple of minutes we have left, though, Dr. Harrow, I wanted to ask you, because I read about it today, you've spent a lot of time in Israel. In fact, you continue to go back to Israel. And if I read it correctly, you actually served in the Israeli Defense Forces. How does that all work together with your focus on medicine and your 20-year or so far career? It's a fascinating story.
So I am active in the Israeli Reserves, in the Israeli Army Reserve, and I work as an emergency physician there. What I do is I'm part of a unit which works to train and prepare for forward field hospitals. The Israeli Army is an army made up almost entirely of reserves. There's a very, very small active component, but nearly the entire country up until age 45 is in the reserves because Israel has to maintain their ability to mobilize in the face of a major threat. So those people who are in reserves, oftentimes in their life, they are plumbers, they are interior designers, but their reserve duty, they're assigned to the field hospital. There simply aren't enough medical people in Israel for all the reserve units to be staffed with fully medical people. So what they do is they train on a yearly basis with some professional physicians and providers, and then a number of reservists who come and train and are reminded of everything that they learned 10, 15 years ago, but they don't use in their daily life. So I've been lucky enough to have the opportunity to remain in the Israeli reserves, despite living here and despite having a full-time job here. But once to twice a year, I go there for about a week, and we train. We train. It's a great reminder for me in terms of trauma services. West Boca has a lot of things. It is not a trauma center, so I get a chance to review all of my trauma. And then it goes into practice in a unique situation, a unique environment, where it's very 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 time constrained, and I get to practice my Hebrew as well.
That's great. I could talk to you a whole hour on that subject alone. I mentioned earlier that this is upcoming. The week after next is my 50th anniversary. I wanted to take our whole family to Israel to celebrate, even though my grandchildren I refer to as cashews. They're half Catholic, half Jew. I wanted to take everybody there. As it turns out, of course, it wouldn't have happened anyway due to what we're dealing with here. But I think what you're doing there is amazing, and I can't help but imagine how helpful it could be here. And I was going to mention, of course, as it always happens with my show, I have more subject matter than I do time. I wanted to ask you about the fact whether you're seeing less traumatic, kind of car accidents, even though you're not a trauma center. I'm sure you get a lot of accident through the emergency room, but we'll have to save that for the next time I get to talk to you about coming back, and I hope that I'll be able to do that someday, that I might be able to twist your arm and have you come back, because you're a great guest. And
it's been my pleasure. I would love to. You let me know, and I'll be happy to join you again.
Yeah, you've been most helpful. And I can't thank you enough, and I appreciate even though the struggles we had of getting together, I appreciate your making this work, and I thank you for that as well. So for those of you who are listening, this is, of course, Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. We're here every Monday night on 95.9 True Oldies on Palm Beach, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. For the new listeners, I'm glad you found us. For the regulars, we're glad that you're still with us. Next week, we're going to talk about elective surgeries with Dr. David Patton. In 2 weeks, a guest host, and 3 weeks, the Urban League. It's a great week. I hope you stay safe, that you stay well, that you take care of yourself. Put on your mask where you need to. Wash your hands. Stay socially distant. And again, Dr. Harrow, can't thank you enough. Have a good night, all. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We'll see you next week. Good night.